It's that time of the week where we speak to the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates. Sonny joins us on the line now. How are you, KB?
Okay, thank you, Sam.
Very good.
It's all for the pre-Christmas celebrations already taking place.
That's what we like to hear. Looking ahead to Christmas and the festive football for Leeds United, a game on Saturday, Yorkshire Derby against Hull City, and well, the form for Leeds United is picking up. Another win at the weekend against Norwich.
Yes, that was a good one, and begin to recover now from what looked like the slip in October, November. Yes, but I still don't know enough about the new manager, and I don't know why we got rid of Gary Monk, but that's history. But the team appears to be playing well, settling down, and what's more importantly, tidying up in the defence, because the few goals being conceded, that's the important thing. You start off with a point when the referee blows a whistle, and after that it's up to the defence, so that's the forwards. The defence to keep the clean sheet, for the forwards to get the goal or two, that makes all the difference.
Interesting for Leeds. Obviously, we talk about giving new managers time, but they made a lot of signings in the summer as well. I think it was 13 that came in total, and some of those hadn't featured. Quite a few questions were being asked, but now starting to see some of those players brought in from abroad starting to settle and be brought into the side. So important to give new players time as well as new managers.
Oh yes, and of course they also have the thing, a new manager comes in, he has to assess what players he's inherited, and because basically he's got a new club, he's got a new team, hasn't he? Let's start from scratch, and it takes time. Not just on match day, but it's watching their attitudes in training, in the dressing room, how they behave towards their fellow players, and how they perform on the training pitch itself. Some players, frankly, are lazy on the training pitch. They turn on Saturdays, or whenever we're playing. Other players train as if it's the last minute on earth. They have to give it their best. But that's people, isn't it? They're all different. And players are all different attitudes. I can remember watching Jimmy Greaves. Remember Jimmy Greaves? Chelsea,
yes.
And Tottenham and England. I remember him watching him playing for Tottenham against Burnley in when was it? Could it be? Oh, late 50s, early 60s. And Burnley were getting on top. Well, they got a goal. And Greavy had done nothing all match. Just hanging around the edge of the penalty area. Long ball came out. He pulled it down with one foot, swiveled, and hit it back of the net before Blacklaw could move. But exactly the same thing happened in the second one. So Burnley, it was only one team and it Burnley. They dominated the team, dominated the game. Jimmy Greaves, the laziest bugger on the pitch, scored, I think he hit the ball three times, scored two goals, and got Spurs a totally undeserved point. Then you get players like that. And sometimes they're reading the game far more than they're doing nothing than others are. Like Kevin Keegan, for example, playing around like headless chicken. But that's all part of football. All people are different, all players are different, and the challenge for the manager is to pick the blend. Hopefully he'll do it just at the right time as we're near the Christmas period. Hopefully 2018 might see us in the top six, or more importantly, top two.
Fingers crossed. Looking towards 2018, if you're a Barnsley fan, you might be pretty excited at the moment. A takeover was announced yesterday. The new owners have been speaking to the press as well today. A consortium involving a Chinese billionaire and the baseball boss who inspired the film Moneyball have taken control of the club. What do you make of the news at Barnsley coming in about the takeover?
Well, we've got Chin Lee, the baseball boss, Billy Bean. We've got a gym, that's Paul Conway, Grace Hung, Nihu Parekh. I think what could be interesting is filming the ball meetings. They might be more fun than the actual games on a Saturday afternoon. This was, I think, this is as international a takeover as any we've seen. People not from different countries, different cultures. So Barnes are in for fundraising time. Just saw that Patrick Corney's leaving because of his illness. But I hope he's had a good life. I hope when he leaves peacefully. And good luck to the Barnsley fans as they peer into the unknown.
Interesting times ahead for Barnsley. This group also owns the French club Nice as well. I'm starting to see that a little bit more now coming into the game, that an owner will own a club in one country and then another as well. What do you think of that process and the possible benefits?
Well, I don't quite see what the benefits are. When I was at Chelsea in the 80s, I bought Partick Thistle because of a gap in the regulations. But I bought Partick Thistle purely as a feeder club for Chelsea. So in the early days, Chelsea had a good flow of Scottish players. But, I mean, take Qataris. They're in Manchester City. They're in Paris Saint-Germain. Didn't quite know how to link the two. Are the investments or the ego trips? Or what are they? I don't know. It's puzzling, because really you're supposed to have loyalty to one club at a time, and I don't quite see how you can do more than that. Meanwhile, it looks as if each one club's going to stay British. There's a discussion going on between CPC Partners, led by Amanda's. Amanda Staveley, sorry. Seeing off Mike Ashley. I had dealings with Mike Ashley 20 odd years ago, when we were just getting ready for our maker store opening at Chelsea. And I wasn't very impressed with him. I'm all right, done very well, made a lot of money. But I don't think that he'd done Newcastle much good. And I think they might see a more professional approach to Newcastle now. Hopefully, for good for the Tynesiders. They've had it rough the last few years. And we wish them well.
And then just away from football, in terms of Brexit and how that continues to move ahead now, the Bank of England to unveil plans allowing European banks to operate in the UK as normal post-Brexit, one of the headlines from this week.
Well, the quid pro quo for that, of course, is the British banks will be allowed to operate in Europe as before. And that would be good news for the British banking system, because we dominate the European banking cycle. And the fact of the matter is that people around the world you want to raise funds or do this, do that, whatever, they come to London. And so Juncker and the other fella, Garnier, make all these threats and bullying ultimatums, because nobody had their bluff called. Because they realise they're going to lose more themselves than they would do by, than Britain would do by inflicting upon it. Nobody gives a, nobody in Japan gives a toss about Berlin, Frankfurt, or Paris. It's London. So this might be a face-saving deal for you. Now realise they've got to not try to limit the power of London as a financial centre. The other interesting thing is, funny enough, must be Sharkey or Theresa May must be, because today they announced that the Common Agricultural Policy and the Common Market Fishing Policy will be abolished as far as we're concerned. The moment we leave, that is great news. It means we take back control of our territorial waters, and it will revive all the fishing towns. I mean, not to miss that, but Aberdeen, Edinburgh, Gateshead, Whitby, all the way down to Hull, Grimsby, Fleetwood, all down the south coast, where fish caught in British waters will be caught by British boats staffed by British fishermen who will come into British port, which are staffed by British people, and the fish markets, which are British, will be handling British caught fish and supplying them fresh British customers, including retail customers, shops, restaurants, supermarkets, and so on. So it should be cheaper. It should create thousands of jobs. Much more importantly, we'll reduce a balance of payments deficit. So why should we buy euros, in effect, to buy British fish caught in British waters? There's a common agricultural policy, which has been a bloody disgrace. Apparently we pay $6 billion into Europe, and our farmers get $3 billion back. So what happens to the other three? Quite apart from the cost of ministry, all that money going to and throwing. I was a dairy farmer. I went out of business because my quota was too small. In fact, I bought another farm, which gave me the quota I needed. Later on, so I sold my quota. And what was stupid, I got more money for my quota than the poor farmers who came trying to produce milk, because we were being swamped by the French, whose quota, although we're also reduced, they still produce far more milk than needed. That's why the old Butter Mountain and Wine Lake, well, that would reduce that. But because the English, or just the British, obviously, includes Scots, Irish and Welsh, Northern Irish, those farmers will be able to produce more, hopefully at better prices, and also they'll be able to look after our countryside, which at the end of the day, I mean, townies don't realise it, but farmers and rural landowners maintain our countryside, not they go back and ruin. So these are signs now we're making progress. Not as good as we might, but you know, we do. We've got to please the other side as well. I think more and more Europeans are beginning to realise that the bullying blagging, shouting of Garnier and Tusk, etc. Just that bullying bluster. Keep plugging on, keep your head down, say no, and until we've got, when we get a trade factual effort next, we can't sort out the Irish border until we trade factual. So the Irish, instead of this fellow being a bit cocky at the moment, he should be putting pressure on Europe to get the trade pact sorted out. Not putting pressure on Britain. Because the Irish are in a very weak position. They sell most of their stuff to UK. So you think it would be in their interest to sit down with us and support us in our deal negotiating with Europe or whatever we are. Slowly getting there. And also it's being done in the face of public disagreement by the broom owners who forget they're elected to represent their constituents and try to get what their constituents want, not sit on arrogant bums and pontificate from afar or up on high what other people want. The working people want out of Europe, and the people in the Whitney Whitehall bubble better remember that, otherwise they might be out of jobs. So if we're moving into the festive period, I think we have a lot to look forward to in 2018. And short may it continue. Because March 2019 is now only just over 15 months away. On that happy note, wish everybody happy Christmas, or the joyous of Christmas if you can make it, and also a very successful New Year. But remember, you can make it successful. Only you can make it successful. Don't wait on other people. Don't rely on the civil servants or the politicians, because none of them have done a day's work. Very few of them have done a day's work in the real world in their lives. They don't know what you're talking about. Bugger the benefits. Make sure you do well at your job. And make sure you progress. So happy Christmas. But also move this time making resolutions. That great Elton John phrase, how much do you want it? I think I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. He's being interviewed with Elton. Not a great friend of mine, but we know each other. And he used to work the circuit around Watford, you know, playing the bars and pubs. Circuit, as you call it. It's well, yeah, I used to play the piano. Lots of people play the piano. I could sing. Lots of people could sing. He used to write songs. A few others could write songs as well. And you ask me why I've succeeded? Because I wanted it more. How much do you want it? The world is full of failed, lazy geniuses. Also full of people with no particular talent, who worked hard while they've got, they succeeded. And good luck to them and their families. Let's hope the good luck and success includes every one of you listening or reading from now on.